Greenland's marginality for raising livestock meant that the Greenland Norse had to develop a complex, integrated economy in order to make ends meet. That integration involved both time and space. Different activities were scheduled at different seasons, and different farms specialized in producing different things to share with other farms. To understand the seasonal schedule, let's begin in the spring. In late May and early June came the brief but crucial season of seal hunting. The summer months of June through August were an especially busy season when the livestock were brought out to pastures to graze. Livestock were yielding milk to turn into storable dairy products. Men set out in boats for Labrador to cut timber. Other boats headed north to hunt walruses, and cargo boats arrived from Iceland or Europe for trading. August and early September were hectic weeks of cutting, drying, and storing hay, just before the weeks in September when the cows were led back to barns and the sheep and goats were brought nearer to shelter. September and October were the season of the caribou hunt, while the winter months from November to April were a time to tend the animals in barns and shelters, to weave, to build and repair with wood, to process the tusks of walrus killed during the summer, and to pray that the food, the hay, and the fuel for heating and cooking didn't run out before the winter's end. Besides that economic integration over time, integration over space was also necessary, because not even the richest Greenland farm was self-sufficient in everything required to survive through the year. That integration involved transfers between outer and inner fjords, between upland and lowland farms, between western and eastern settlement, and between rich and poor farms. For instance, while the best pastures were in the lowlands, the caribou hunt took place at upland farms, while the seal hunt was concentrated in outer fjords. Because western settlement lies 300 miles north of eastern settlement, its hay production per acre was barely one-third that of eastern settlement. However, western settlement was closer to the hunting grounds for walruses and polar bears that were Greenland's chief export to Europe. Thus, western settlement, although much smaller than eastern settlement, was crucial to the Norse economy. Integration of poorer with richer farms was necessary because hay production and grass growth depend especially on a combination of two factors, temperature and hours of sunlight. In a good year, the best farms produce big surpluses of hay and livestock, while small, poor farms produce smaller surpluses. In a bad year, the best farms might still have been left with some surplus, but poorer farms might have found themselves with not even enough hay to feed all their animals through the winter. Hence, they would have had to cull some animals in the fall, and might at worst have had no animals left alive in the spring. The result was that the best farms subsidized poor farms in bad years by lending them livestock in the spring so that the poor farms could rebuild their herds. The complexly integrated economy that I have described, based on raising livestock, hunting on land, and hunting in the fjords, enabled the Greenland Norse to survive. But that economy also hints at a possible reason for the Greenlanders' eventual demise, because it was vulnerable to failure of any of those components. The Norse could cope with livestock losses from one bad summer or bad winter, provided that it was followed by a series of good years. More dangerous was a decade with several bad years, or a summer of low hay production, followed by a long, snowy winter, in combination with a crash in seal numbers, or anything impeding spring access to the outer fjords. As we shall see, that was what actually happened at Western Settlement. Five adjectives characterize Greenland Norse society: communal, violent, hierarchical, conservative, and Eurocentric. All of those features were carried over from the ancestral Icelandic and Norwegian societies, but became expressed to an extreme degree in Greenland. To begin with, Greenland's Norse population of about 5,000 lived on 250 farms, with an average of 20 people per farm, organized in turn into communities centered on 14 main churches, with an average of about 20 farms per church. Norse Greenland was a strongly communal society, in which one person could not go off, make a living by himself or herself, and hope to survive. Every piece of the few useful patches of land in the western and eastern settlements was owned either by some individual farm or communally by a group of farms, which thereby held the rights to all of that land's resources. The result was a tightly controlled society, in which the few chiefs of the richest farms could prevent anyone else from doing something that seemed to threaten their interests, including anyone experimenting with innovations that did not promise to help the chiefs. Also carried to Greenland along with this communality was a strong violent streak. The church cemetery at Bertallid includes, in addition to many individual graves with neatly placed whole skeletons, a mass grave dating from the earliest phase of the Greenland colony, and containing the disarticulated bones of 13 adult men and 1 9-year-old child, probably a clan party that lost a feud. 5 of those skeletons bear skull wounds inflicted by a sharp instrument, presumably an axe or sword. Another male skeleton of the same churchyard has a knife blade between the ribs. 2 female skeletons from Sanus Cemetery with similar cut wounds of the skull testified that women as well as men could die in feuds. The Greenland Norse also carried over from Iceland and Norway a sharply stratified, hierarchically organized social organization, such that a small number of chiefs dominated owners of small farms, tenants who didn't even own their own farms, and initially, slaves. Within the first century or two of the Greenland colony, slavery disappeared, and the slaves became freed men. However, the number of independent farmers probably decreased with time as they were forced into becoming tenants of the chiefs. Those forces consisted of climate fluctuations, drawing poor farmers and bears into debt to farmers who lent them hay and livestock, and who could eventually close on them. Viking Greenland was a conservative society resistant to change. The ultimate reason behind that conservative outlook may have been that they found themselves in a very difficult environment.